Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
How are we doing, folks? Welcome along. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Thanks very much. How are you?
Just realised there won't be many more of these until Christmas.
No, that's it too, isn't there? There's two left and that's about the size of it.
Yeah.
And then we're into the jolly ha 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 ha. Shut your face. Stop being annoying, everyone. Don't come to my house. I wish you weren't here. That is the story of this. Yeah, I know. I can't. It drives me up the wall.
I know it sounds ridiculous me asking you this, but have you had any kind of Christmassy spirit things?
I'm trying. I can't get into it.
I don't mean you being kind of anti-Christmas. I just mean in general. Have you encountered anything that, you know, has made you feel Christmassy? Just even by accident.
Oh, have I?
Did you accidentally walk into a shop and suddenly you felt, wow, I'm in the middle of Christmas?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I couldn't get parking in Clontarf last week.
Great.
That was the most Christmassy thing. I was going around, you know the way.
Road rage was basically the most Christmassy thing you could find.
No, road rage. Sure, it wasn't even road rage. It just meant, right, I guess that's me doing nothing. Because that's what I do. I give up on stuff.
Do you?
You know what I mean? I just give up on stuff. I'll go down here now. I'm going to get me a few bits and pieces. And then again, no parking. Right, fuck it. No point. That's the end of that. I just give up on stuff. Immediately, I just give up on stuff. It's always been a pattern.
To be honest, that might well be a male trait, though.
Do you think so? Yeah,
I remember, because the other day there, I met Dan and we went for a bite to eat or whatever. And then there was a couple of bits I wanted to pick up in a shop, right?
Yeah.
And I thought they'd be all in the one shop. Right, these weren't presents or anything. These were just, you know, ordinary day-to-day stuff. And I thought they'd be all in the one shop. So I went in and I had a look for one and it wasn't there. So I decided, I wasn't buying any of them in that shop.
Well, there you go. You see, that's what happens.
Oh, wait, now I'm not, you know, it doesn't matter. Leave it. I'll get them somewhere else.
It doesn't matter. And what, you still have to go through it? I don't have to go through it. You do. Eventually you have to come back. I don't care about this. You're just long fingering stuff. I'm making life more difficult for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I can't help but make life difficult for myself. I have one present to get this for Christmas.
Right.
One.
Yeah.
And do you think I can get my head around doing it? Do you think I... And all I have to do... It's still time. There's still time to buy it online.
Yeah.
To avoid the shops. But I know I'm going to make a bollocks of it. I just know.
Is there still time to buy online?
Ah, yeah, there'd have to be, wouldn't there? Oh, maybe not. Then you have to give me the willies
I
now.
I don't know. Just the way.
There's 2 weeks.
You're speaking to a man who was waiting 8 months for a couch.
Ah, yeah, that's different. I'm not going to get them
a
couch.
You're not buying a couch, eh?
I'm not getting them a 3-piece suite.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I'm not going that far.
I always assume that the online thing at Christmas, like if you want to get something in time for Christmas and you're buying it online, I always assume that you have to be ordering it in February.
Ah, no, you're going back to the dark ages.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah, no, it's not like that anymore. The Posta are essentially a parcel delivery service and there's DPDs and DHLs and all that. There's a window. I know there is a window, but it's not like it was last year.
Maybe the 7 to 10 working days. Although, to be honest,
maybe that's it.
Even at the 7 to 10 working days, you'd be cutting it fine, would you?
You're a bastard now. You're making me feel really bad. You're making me get the willies now. This is what I kept telling you. This is what I was saying was going to happen. That it was going to get to the point where it's just going to be that too sketchy, too late. And now I realise it's probably close enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You see? Looks like that couch might...
Now I'm going to have to do that thing where you just walk into a shop and say, I need a present. And make yourself someone else's problem, which I've done lots of times before.
Yeah, just landing on somebody else.
Make it their problem. Make yourself their problem. Walk up to the first... Go into Brown Thomas and the makeup place there.
Yeah.
Go to the first person you see. Hi, I need to get a present. Do you have any ideas? And they're like, oh, jeez. Make it their problem.
Yeah.
That's always what I do. And they're like, well, what do they like? She likes smells. And she likes... makeup and clothes.
Colours.
They're like, oh no. So just that's all. And they have to show you things and they have to tell you what they like. And you just find someone that looks a bit like the person you're buying for. That's what I always try to do.
Random strangers. Walk up to a random stranger.
Well, they work there. I'm not walking up to someone, to another customer.
I thought you meant that. I thought you meant walking up to just some random person in a shop going,
oh, no.
You look a bit like me, man. What would you like for Christmas?
Ah, you know, not that mad. Imagine doing that. You get arrested for that.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want? I'm going to get it for me, man. That's insulting for a start. No, I'm talking about the people in the shop.
They
all walk in the counter.
You know, maybe that's a break in their day.
No,
maybe it's nice that they feel that their opinion is sought and valued.
No, it isn't. You can see the light getting sucked out of their soul. as they realise they just have to be stuck with you.
Anybody who's listening to this, right, so as you say, you've got one present to buy. I'd be in more or less the same kind of category or whatever. My lads are grown up or whatever. That's the great thing about grown up kids, is that they always appreciate money.
Oh, you can just do the thing, I'll just get you some lunch when I see you. I do that a lot.
So I don't have a lot. And over my life, really haven't had a lot to, you know, really a lot to contend with, right?
But
and you're
still
saying about one.
Yeah.
And there's probably people listening to this, probably still people out there, right, in fairness, who have to do, they're part of big families, right?
Yeah.
And they have to do the presents for everybody from everybody.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
What a pain.
So there's, I don't know, half a dozen siblings and the man down, whatever, and they've to buy presents for all of them individually.
What a pain.
And they all have to be thought about. And you're not, you know, you'll get slagged off if you just buy a voucher. And
yeah.
You know, those kind of families.
All of that.
How would you, we'd never survive in them.
No, are you joking? In a family like that?
Yeah.
I'd just give up. I'd just be excluded. I'd just leave the family.
Yeah.
I'd have to divorce my brothers and sisters. You know, I'd have to be, sorry, there's terms for separation here. I can't get involved in any of this. Although lads are terrible anyway. Lads, there's always a sister that sort of takes over these things, isn't there, to some degree. Nowadays it's different. They set up a WhatsApp group called Ma's Presents. And everybody has to revolute the present money to one person who unfortunately for them becomes the nominated present buyer. And then they take a picture of it, put it into the WhatsApp group and go, this is what we got, Ma. And everybody, yeah, thanks, fair play to you. You know, it's a bit scaldy, but it's probably how it works.
It kind of works, yeah. It's like Daz, who for years basically just turned around to their sort of eldest daughter and went, get something nice for your Ma for Christmas, will you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From me, like.
Just went under the tree and wrote, and Dad. From whatever,
yeah. What did I get her this year? What do you mean? What did I get her?
Oh yeah, and not even that. Waiting there to see what it is as she opens it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as she opens the wrapping paper and he's going,
Jeez,
that's lovely.
Jeez.
And you seriously got that for 25 quid?
Oh yeah, or even worse, how much was that? You could have got something cheaper than that. My God.
I'm not fucking made of money.
Oh, this is outrageous, yeah.
Unbelievable. But yeah, because I mean, how do people take that on? People who have actual lists. The way you and I would have a food shopping list.
Yeah.
People have stuff like that. And
I'll
tell you
know.
Something, right?
Some people are great at it, though.
The weird thing about it is, which is the hardest part for you, right? Is it the thinking?
Living. Through it.
I think I know the answer to this. But is it the thinking or the getting? Right, because
the getting. Both of them are as bad,
yeah,
to be honest.
Because, I mean, I'm really envious of people who have brilliant ideas for presents for everyone, different every year,
yeah,
and all that sort of stuff, and great, and works for the person involved. You know, it's exactly what they love us all. Oh, I can't do it. I'm rubbish at
that. But that's because people are shit. They don't say what they want. They don't say what they want. People are shit like that. You know what I mean? It's like, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Tell me what it is or else you're going to know it now about that. Whereas you ask me what I want, I tell you straight out. I'll send you the links. I'll send you 4 or 5 links. There you go. I make life so easy for people.
Right.
You know, no surprises, no nonsense, no bullshit. You ask me what I want. Here's what I want. And then you go, now, what do you want? I might maybe something. It's a present for later in the year. What are you saying? Shut up. Tell me what you actually want. Send me a link.
Just reading between the lines then on that slightly, right? So you're basically, what I'm hearing is you put a lot more thought into thinking about your own presents for yourself.
I know
than
me.
Than you do into presents for other people.
I like me. I get on with myself. I know the answers.
That's brilliant.
I don't torture myself.
That's
brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you
seriously saying you can't think of a single thing to buy me? No. Right. Well, what am I going to buy you? Well, I happen to have about 2 dozen suggestions.
Yeah, because I have interests. I have hobbies in my life, things I like to do. You know, so it's easy to buy me things associated with what I like to do.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, they just don't, you know, they just potter along through life and just make life difficult for us present buyers.
You wouldn't be somebody who'd, you don't give a shite about a surprise.
No, I hate surprises.
Even nice ones.
I hate them. There's never, no such thing as a nice surprise. A surprise is a bad version of what I would have wanted. It's close, but no cigar, to what I actually would have asked for.
I've never
been given a surprise I would have bought for myself. Yeah. Never. I don't like them, no.
So you'd open it, go, God, that's absolutely lovely. Mind you, for an extra fiver, you could have got the MX352 version, which really, you know, is really good.
Or I would really have liked that in the colour I would have chosen. instead of this shit. You know, that's great. Now I got exactly what I didn't want. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you do. You kept the receipt though, did you? Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Gift receipt. Brilliant. I could have bought it myself. That's all I'm saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas spirit is alive and well.
Yeah,
alive
indeed.
And well and living in this very studio. Very studio. Right, let's come here. Let's give you some of the best bits from the show during the week. We took a little random selection of some of the best bits. We ended up talking about one of PJ's most favourite things in the whole widest world, the doggies.
Yeah.
We were talking about the doggies and how smart the doggies are.
Super smart dogs are, yeah.
Actually, your dogs always buy you the perfect present, don't they?
They do. My dogs know exactly what to give me. It's very simple.
They've taken it off your list.
Yeah.
So we'll have that chat on the way. Also, the other thing is we got to chat to the great Pat Short and his daughter Faye during the week. They've got a new show happening and they came in to have a bit of a chat with us. Always good to see Pat Short. Such a nice fella. Also, there was a bit of a chat during the week about chocolates. Well, specifically, it was the dark chocolate.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, which like, you know, I know it sounds strange that we would even, you know, pause when talking about chocolate, but when it gets to the very dark...
It's all right at best. Look, you can hear the disappointment in us.
You'll get to hear how that went. And also emojis, which is a very controversial subject, apparently. Emojis.
It is now.
Who'd have thought it?
It is nowadays, yeah. It's lost on us all, lads, to be honest.
Absolutely. Right, listen, find out how it all went. Have a listen to that. We'll chat to you the other side.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
You know, we always like to bring you good news whenever we can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this show is founded on. Trying to, you know, forget about, okay, yes, we blatantly ignore the bad stuff. Of course we do. We bury our heads in the sand and we don't pay any attention to
Absolutely, yeah. I bury my face in Jim's back. So nothing happens, so I don't see what's going on.
So we always try and bring you some good news, and there is some chocolate.
Yeah, well, I got excited about it, to be honest with you. Apparently eating chocolate is really very good for your mood, right?
Right.
And I was there, oh, brilliant. That'll make me feel better about the half a tub of heroes I scoffed over this week.
Right.
But it's not what it seems. They say that it's great for your mood, but it has to be that 85% dark chocolate, you know, that stuff.
Oh,
and it has to only
makes
be...
your face scrunch up and everything.
I know. And it has to be like only 30 grams. So that's like a tiny square of it. So if you have a tiny square of that stuff that tastes like an owl leaf...
That'd be like taking medicine.
I know. That's exactly what it is. And it works that way too. It has that effect on your mood. They've taken all these samples from people. And I do mean samples from people.
Oh, right.
From the bottom end of a human. they took samples. And I don't know how that did show microbial changes, as what they call it, in the gut from eating the chocolate. But it doesn't mean you can do what we'd like to do. Go home, bang your... Like, basically headbang into a load of celebrations or heroes or quality streets.
These entire bar of... Orange Toblerone to yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so unjust, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's always the way.
Yeah, the cocoa thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, well, you see, the other thing about it is I'm at a disadvantage for a start because I don't love dark chocolate. You know, there are some people who actually would prefer dark chocolate to milk chocolate.
I do love it now. I do. Yeah, I do. Would I prefer it? No. Would I eat it? Yes. Yes. Do I love it? Yes. Do I love it? No, actually. Can I resist it if it's around me in the house? No. Even if it's that 85% stuff that tastes like
God,
somebody's hand.
God,
I can't resist it.
Lots of twists and turns in that.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? I just can't resist
it. A lot of yes or no's going on.
I've told you before, I don't know chocolate's in the house. I can hear chocolate in the house.
Yeah.
I can hear it. If I have a tub of heroes, if I have one bar, if there's a cream egg in my house somewhere, I can hear it through the house going, "Hello, come and get me. Come and get me, sexy man." I don't know why it's calling me sexy. It's just flattering me so.
Yeah, it's trying to lure you in, Peter.
Kill me with compliments so I go and do what it wants me to do.
It's trying to lure you in. And the dark chocolate, I assume, then just sounds a bit different.
Sounds different,
That'd be harsher. PJ, come here right now.
I think it's more like, "Are you going to eat me or what? Nobody else is going to do it. I've been sitting here for a week."
Yeah.
Pour out a cup of tea and come and have me, yeah.
I mean, the dark chocolate, like, you can get the, you know, all the different percentages.
I know, that's the
thing. And the 85 is the biggest of them all, isn't
85,
it?
85, I think.
After that, you're just eating pure cocoa beans.
I think you're just eating the dirt, the actual dirt.
Like, I tell you when dark chocolate comes into its own, is with, there's a little dram of the... Ishka Baha.
Definitely, I love that.
A little dram of the whiskey, always drink responsibly. a square of dark chocolate's not the worst with that.
I love that.
Or maybe a bit of red wine. Again, I always drink responsibly. I don't know why suddenly I've realised I'm going down a road where all of my chocolate imbibement comes along with fizzy drink imbibement.
Oh, no, I know
anyway,
what you mean.
You know, always drink responsibly, as I say.
No, I remember once being treated to a whiskey and dark chocolate pairing. And it was amazing.
Like as an event?
Yeah, like a thing. It was given to me. Yeah, it was brought along. And I remember thinking and you eat the bit of chocolate and you drink the bit of whiskey and then they say the whole, do you get the oaky vibe and taste of fairy powder that comes through? And I just remember eating it and just taking...
You're out of any milk tray.
I was there, yeah. You wouldn't have a selection box lying around, would you?
Yeah, there wouldn't be air of Curly Whirly anywhere to be found with that.
Selection box of Curly Whirly and a pint of Smittix would be any of them, to be honest with you.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
The crying laughing face on the emojis is the most used emoji in the world, by the way.
That makes sense.
Just thought I'd say, doesn't it?
Is that the top one on your phone? You know the way there's a little most used section at the front on your emojis?
That is a very good question. Do you know that? I'm going to just have a look now because you've made me think about it.
Yeah, I'm going to just... About
yes, except I use the one with the one tier.
Yeah.
You know that one? Because I don't want to be giving anyone too big a head. I don't want to be giving anyone too... Like by doing the double tier emoji face, the laughing face.
You see, I have that one. And the reason I have that one is... I have the same one. Is that the one that's sort of the tear off the head nearly kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I have that one. Because the last time you and I had this conversation about emojis, you pointed out how all mine were out of date. That old people only use the thumbs up.
Thumbs
one.
Up is the old. That's the oldie.
That's oldies.
One. Yeah, it is.
What was the other one? Did you say the crying laughing one was an oldie?
Basically, emojis in all the world over are old people things now.
Is it?
Your younger people just don't really use them anymore. It's all those old farts that use pictures to express our emotions now. It used to be the other way around, but everybody got older.
And so now, what do the young hip folk use?
Words. They use words. They communicate with words, yeah.
What, they say, ha 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 ha?
Yeah, or else, I don't know if the LOL is still a thing. You're asking me what young people do.
Well,
I
just thought you'd be down with the kids.
I love the way
with the kids.
Jim checking in with young man Geller. Yeah, not really. So I don't really know. But as far as emojis are used and being used, that's the number one emoji in the world. It's about 5% of every emoji used is the laughy, cryy faced man.
Yeah. The thing about those
tears of joy.
You know the way, like if you just see something in print, you can misinterpret it. You know what I mean? The emojis are very good for that reason. That's the one definite advantage.
I love an emoji. It stops me communicating with people at all. You know what I mean? Somebody sends you some stupid joke thing or some ridiculous meme. It's not funny at all. Grand. Three laughy faces. Bang. Boom. Situation
Take
solved.
It out of that.
Everyone's happy. You're happy. I'm happy. We're all happy. Nobody had to say a word. That's what I love about them.
Yeah.
And also as well, at our age, Jim, things do get misinterpreted. Sometimes you read a message and you're like, now, what did they mean by that?
Yeah.
You know, were they being sarcastic? Were they being snotty?
Do they think that's funny?
Yeah, do they think it's funny? And an emoji sort of puts a great context on it.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, you could go back through the works of the great writers of the past, like great big books, you know, James Joyce, Ulysses. There's a book that could have done with emojis. No one knows what
Even
the hell
just
he's
to
going
break
on.
Up the sentence.
Yeah, just to break a bit of punctuation. You know what I mean? Maybe if there was emojis in Ulysses, people who tried to read it would have a much better sense of what it was actually about.
Yeah, yeah. It's Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet.
Definitely.
Could emojis. Could have saved all that wherefore art thou, just lash him over a big red heart.
All that as well.
How are you doing?
Wherefore art thou? Grant, what's the context? Oh, look, it's a laughy face.
Yeah.
Grant, now I understand. Now I understand. I'm following it.
Tell you, somebody should do that. The great works in emoji style.
100%.
What else is... So there's the cry face or the laughing face.
The laughing
the
face
tears.
Is number one.
So what happened?
The red heart is number two.
Is the original smiley gone now? Does nobody use the smiley?
I don't think so.
In other words, the happy face without the tears of laughter.
I think you do. If you're like... I would use that, like, say, if I'm having a nice time, if I'm sitting there and I have a fizzy beverage by my side or something like this.
Yeah.
I might say, hope you're having a good day. And the original, just the smiley little face, you know.
Grand.
The little reddish cheeks.
Because I just wanted to make sure now that wasn't, like, say, a grade thing. You know what I mean? If somebody sends you a gag or says something that they think is funny, that, you know, you grade it based on, well, it didn't make me cry with laughter. I suppose it did raise a basic smile. I'll give you one of those back.
Oh, no, that's no, yeah, yeah. No, the rule of emojis is everything is hilarious.
Then you get an abusive text going, oh, that deserved at least a crying laughing face.
I haven't been so confused by context since I read Shakespeare.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
You know our friends at Dogs Trust?
Yes,
you know,
I do, of course.
Good, great bunch out there. We've been out there, good friends of the show, and always kind of stay in touch, obviously, PJ being such a super dog lover and all that sort of stuff. But they have a cracking story, right, in Dogs Trust. A couple of the people who work out there, Kim Murphy and Jason Seagrave, they're employees of Dogs Trust, right? And they actually moved house specifically to adopt one of the dogs.
You're joking me.
No. That's how dedicated they were. They actually...
That is brilliant, isn't it?
There was a dog in there. What was the dog's name? Was it Max? It was Max. Was in there. And where they were living at the time, right, wouldn't have been suitable.
Too small and not enough space or whatever, yeah.
For Max. And they were sort of fostering. And obviously, Max was in Dogs Trust or whatever. And, you know, they got to know him or whatever, fell in love with him. And they specifically moved house just to facilitate being able to adopt Max.
Only right and proper. I'm delighted to hear. What a great story that is.
What a story that is.
I tell you, there's nothing better in their life than a dog. A good dog.
Oh, your best friend.
I know it's really, 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 really hard work to have a dog and keep it right, but it's so worth it. There's nothing more rewarding than it. It's amazing.
And we found actually something today, another kind of story related to it, where apparently now, you know, this idea of your best friend, you might say, right, well, hang on a second now. You know, yes, they do give you unconditional love and they're always delighted to see you and all that sort of stuff, but you know, you can't share your problems and you can't talk to them about stuff you need to figure out. Well, maybe you can.
You absolutely can. According to a new study, canines is a terrible name for a dog. Dogs, as if somebody has a pet wolf, but dogs understand about 89 words and phrases on average, so they're much smarter than people have given them credit for before. Dogs are actually super smart.
Right.
By comparison to what we thought they were. I mean, I'd well believe this. Anyone who has a dog knows this is true. I have two dogs. I suppose, much like people, it depends on the dog. I have one dog that I think is basically a genius.
Right.
And I have another dog that's a half-wit, a quarter-wit, actually. Can't keep up with anything,
yeah,
to be quite honest with you. It depends on the dog, but they surveyed 165 owners, and on average owners...
I thought you were going to say they surveyed 165 dogs.
Well, they did. Well, yeah, I guess they did.
It'd be great if they gave them IQ tests.
I know, yeah.
Mind you, I suppose you can.
That's what they do, yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
it's working out. It's problem solving and all that.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, this one is the speech one, but anyway, go on.
Well, this is what they understand. So words, it's commands mostly they understand, like sit, come, down, stay, wait, okay, and leave it. The amount of times I have to use that, leave it. Leave it.
Yeah.
Sneaking over for an L roll in the poo. Leave it. You know, sneaking over to eat something that they shouldn't. That's my most used command, I would say.
Wow.
But they understand them all and more. And one dog in this study, what they reckon, could understand up to 215 words. Super smart.
That's 215
yeah,
words.
I 215 mean, words,
that's
yeah.
as many as you and I.
I know. I'm telling you something. It's as good as my Spanish anyway. That's for sure.
And is there, like, unusual? Like, what's... Does it give an example of this stuff that's out of the ordinary, away from the sit... stay.
No, it doesn't.
Stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it
doesn't.
I'd love to know what some of them were.
But it's going to be all the basics still, isn't it? It's going to be, I love you. It's going to be that.
And you reckon?
Yeah, and it's going to be, you're a good fella, aren't you? All these things, and what a lovely boy. Yeah. You know, it's going
to
be all these
things. It'd be just great to find out that they understood some sort of really random, sort of, you know, weird highfalutin word. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like they understand what the...
Like the way we...
What the items in the kitchen are. You know what I mean? That's a slow cooker. That's a, you know.
Yeah.
That's a spatula.
Or even
if there's a dog
in
there
general,
that knows,
like,
what a spatula is.
When you and I the other day were trying to work something out, we got completely mixed up between onomatopoeia and sibilance or something or whatever.
Oh, yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
It'd be just great if your dog turned around and went, oh, that's not onomatopoeia, yeah, that's sibilance.
It's just Barry. It's the first one! It's the first one! You ticks!
Yeah, it's quite possible, actually, I suppose, if they're dealing with us. But that'd be brilliant. That's amazing. 200 and something.
I know, 200 something. That, I love the idea, though, that we're coming home and our dogs feel patronised.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now that we realise that they're much smarter than ever, that we come, we realise that when we come back and we're going, look at you, you cuddly big thing. Oh, you're so beautiful. And the dog is sitting there going, could you just talk normally, please?
Yes, I'm not a child, yeah. You know.
It's not like, I'm not a half-wit completely. The other one is.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
We're able to welcome not just an old friend of the show, but hopefully a new friend of the show.
Yeah.
Because we got Pat and Faye Short in studio. Hey! Welcome.
Hey!
It's a family thing. Yeah, it's a family thing. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pat.
First of all, it's good to see you again. It's, I mean, I can't remember the last time you were in with us, but can't be that long ago, can
it? No, it's not. It's not, but you know, with the COVID thing and everything, sure, it's been a long time, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been up here, and sure, I'm gone so old now, I have to bring the young one to bring me up.
Yeah.
Hold my hand up the stairs.
We had to clarify that.
We had to make it bigger.
That's what it is. We were wondering, like, now, is Pat bringing his carer with him, or is it his daughter?
There's a reason for us kicking together.
That's it.
Get that kind of seat. Oh, God, don't cough. Whatever you do.
Anyway, listen, come on. The reason you're here, yes, right, is yeah. It's the new stage show,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Well,
that's
what it's
called. Yeah, we're in the Tree Olympia. Hard one to think. It's hard one to say.
Hard to remember.
Isn't it? Yeah. You're going Tree Arena all the time, but it's the Tree Olympia.
Right. Yes.
It's a smaller version, but it's equally as important.
And so,
17th of February. I'm getting the plug in, let's say.
Yeah, that's all right. That's why we're here.
Sorry, Jim. I was cutting you off there. Go on, Jim. Go on. Sorry, Jim. Sorry. 17th, 18th, 19th of February.
Say it one more time.
All gone well. There'll be a lot of audience participation. And we'll be getting right into the crowd.
Lovely. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Whatever you do, don't be afraid. Sorry, PJ. This is. I assume you were going to say the same thing. This is a kind of a follow on from stuff you've been doing for a while anyway, the Perry, isn't it?
Yeah, we were doing a good bit over lockdown. We adapted from Dad's podcast. And he was blessed with my expertise anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's great to have her come out of college.
Yeah.
She came out of college, Jim, you see.
Oh, really?
So I'm trying to earn back the few
he's
bob I spent on her.
Yeah. He's worth anyways.
And so what's it like? I mean, the two, I've heard you say it's like the early days of the Dumbelievables, except obviously now it's very, very different. What's it like for you, Faye? Like?
Oh, it's great crack. It is. No, we have a good laugh.
Like, did you ever imagine you would have been watching your dad for years, and then did you ever imagine you were going to be up there doing a show like this? With them.
Never. I'm with them 24/7. I don't see my friends anymore at all.
We were up in Leitrim there, and she just turned around at the end of the week and said, I need to go to the girls. I need to hang out. She was hanging out with a lot of sound engineers and techies and crew guys.
I'm even talking like them now as well. I have
the lingo
and the accent.
But it's great. No, it's great working with Faye. And it's.
Would you guys have kind of like, when you were younger, Faye, or just growing up or whatever, would you always have sparked off, like just in terms of, say, just being in the house, would you spark off each other normally, kind of comedic wise, as you were kind of, you know, when you were growing up, Faye?
I think so. But I think when I went to drama school, we got a lot much closer, because I was coming home and asking him about advice on my training in the Gaiety and in Bow Street. And that kind of got us closer and talking more about work and all this, and then it kind of spread from there.
Yeah. But then there's we've two other siblings, Faye has, Louis and Lily, and they're funny as well. So
they're
There is a bit of a comedy kind of streak going through them. I don't know where. They probably get it off their mother.
Yeah.
Are you the serious one? It's normally the one that goes into acting as the serious sibling.
Yeah, I am the serious sibling.
Yeah.
I think I am.
No. Like a lot of times.
Although that's a strange one for you to say, because you went into the acting as well.
Oh, yeah, my sister would say I'm no crack at all.
Oh, your old face is on the wall in the Gaiety, actually.
Oh, is it? It's still up there.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They love you in there.
Do not end up like this.
When Faye says it's huge, she just means it's life size. It's just naturally huge.
It's a huge cutout.
Big head.
Yeah, very big.
It's the first thing you see when you enter the door.
Be warned.
Yeah. And then that's the dreaded question then. What's the show like? What's the show about?
Very funny.
Well, I suppose we kind of... It was kind of tough kind of writing it, because we had to examine each other, you know, in a kind of a way.
Yeah,
you know, because we wrote about a dad and a daughter musicians, who kind of these two characters that we've put together. But it explores kind of the relationship between a dad and a daughter, the embarrassments, all those kind of things. And we go through different sketches, through different scenarios like that. And we kind of based the show around a hotel. I always like to base shows around an event or something happening. And this is a hotel coming out of COVID, reopening up and flying these two musicians to do the entertainment, and they're dreadful. And we've got all these other characters that are in there in the hotel as it's emerging out of a COVID lockdown kind of thing scenario. We don't hang on the COVID thing too much, but it's more that's kind of a backdrop for what
And is there a bit of kind of genuine real life stuff that's been woven into this? Not saying that you're both terrible musicians or anything. Don't get me wrong.
She hasn't a note in her head. It's like,
I think the stories have been drawn on not specific embarrassing moments, but like thinking back on like when Dad embarrassed me or when I embarrassed Dad even, which was probably very rare, but you know.
It can be done. It's good fun.
And I suppose from your point of view as well, Pat, the idea is that there's a little bit of getting back into the old chops as well, isn't there? Because you would have done Dunbelievables for so many years with John.
Well, I was saying that to Faye, it's great. I'm really enjoying it because I started as a double act with John, and that's all I understood until I started going out on my own. I've been nearly 20 years on my own now, and it's great. But it's great now being back interacting, you know what I mean, and doing costume changes and characters and stuff like that, and scenarios playing out on stage almost like mini dramas, which is what we did with the Unbelievers as a double act. You do sketches, or if you watch the Dirtbirds and people like that, you know, any of the double acts that are out there, that's the way it is. And it's fun being with someone else on stage, and it's great fun, and especially with Faye, it's even more crack, you know.
Yeah, I find that as well. It's actually the double act, the great thing about it, you can always offload some duties. That's what I find the best.
You do. I spend my life offloading duties.
Until you get sick of them.
Brilliant. Right, so listen. So the important dates, right? First of all, it's the three Olympia, right? Yeah. Don't make the same mistake Pat's making all the time. So it's the three Olympia, and it's the 17th, 18th and 19th of February. Tickets are on sale at the moment from Ticketmaster. Ideal stocking filler. No two ways about it.
Listen, we look forward to seeing everyone in the new year, and have a great Christmas.
It's great stuff, guys. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Cheers.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go. Some of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory. And as we head towards, you can't stop it, people. It's happening. As we head towards the Christmas, there's going to be more and more of that Christmas chatter going on.
Yeah, spell it out, people. Spell it out. Make sure you tell people what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And does that apply to everything in your life?
Everything.
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 So
yeah.
you wouldn't like anybody to buy you anything that you hadn't pre-approved?
No, it's a shite idea. Well, imagine going to a restaurant with someone and they says, "I'll get you lunch." And then they go, "Oh, what do you think I'm going to get you?" Off the menu, you'd be there going, "Oh, I'll tell you, I can see the menu." No, surprise! Surprise! And they ordered the shit that's next to what you wanted.
That's a brilliant analogy.
It's a terrible idea. Surprises are absolutely awful ideas. There's never ends well.
It's like, I tell you something, the part that it's, do you know what it's a bit similar to, right? And thankfully, well, I know you certainly wouldn't have fallen into this category. I would never have appreciated it. But you know when there are lads who let other people pick their clothes?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know lads like that. You can tell by looking at these lads, though.
Yeah, that they literally, not only, and I don't just mean bought for them. I don't just mean that somebody else bought the clothes. I mean, they laid them out.
Oh,
for
them. They'd be walking around.
That's what you're wearing today.
Oh, Jimmy needs a pair of trousers. I'll go and get them, buys them, and then throws them on the bed. Like, I know, hopeless.
Yeah, I've left out your blue shirt with the wine tie and your chinos.
Yeah, and you're like, "Thanks very much, I couldn't have done that myself." How could I have possibly done that myself? Never would have picked that combo.
Yeah, that would be quite a challenge to take up.
Tell me about it. Oh, wow. But you can tell these people, you see these people, you know them straight away. I know lads.
Yeah, because they just look sad.
Yeah, and the boot cut jeans and sad faces. You can see them around the place.
Oh,
sweaty armpits because they're not weather appropriate. Because the person that's picking their clothes, doesn't know what it's like to actually wear those clothes. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Right, come on, let's get the hell out of here.
Let's get out of here. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.